Hopefully we are going to be able to conclude our study this morning, but we have been considering this subject now for this about the fourth lesson here. And when we're looking at this and you get to thinking about four lessons, we might be giving the impression that prayer is difficult and that it's complicated, and you've got to know all of these things before you can pray. And I hope that we are not giving that impression. But what we are seeing is that prayer is something that does take a degree of insight into. It is something that the Lord talks about, that we need to have a good grasp, a good understanding upon it, so that, as the Bible describes sometimes, prayer is being effectual. Talking about James, or talking about Elijah's prayer in the book of James. And so, an effectual prayer. And so, that's what we want to do, is make our prayers powerful. We want our prayers to be effectual. We want them to accomplish the most that God has promised us that we can accomplish in prayer. And one of the things that we find ourselves in respect to prayer, as though it's not complicated, and sometimes a good way to learn to pray, or at least to start to pray, is to just go back to our childhood or to listen to a child pray and think about the earnestness of their prayer and some of the things that they request. And I know that sometimes they, request some, things that were kind of like, oh, wow, sure, I wish they hadn't have asked for that, because God hasn't, talked about giving us things like that. But that's good for us to know, because sometimes we might talk about things and seek things and want things from God that He hasn't promised us, or that maybe He's not willing to give for various reasons. But one of the things that you'll also notice in children's prayer is the thanksgiving. Oh, they are thankful for everything, aren't they? And we have noted that that is something about prayer that we need to understand, that we need to know. It's not just, this want, this wish list that we have. And so, God has given us this avenue to, to request of Him all of these gifts and all these wonderful things and all these neat things and all these things that we want. That prayer is not just that. How would we like it if only time that somebody wanted something from us or wanted to talk to us is that they wanted something from us? And you might remind them, well, I gave you this, gave you that, and the other thing. You go, yeah, but I want this too. Are you thankful at all, for the things that I have given you? And so you see, that's where children. Prayer is also one of the things that seems to diminish a lot of people's faith, seems to tear down their belief, because they talk about, well, I prayed for this and I really believed and I didn't get what I prayed for, or I just sought an answer and I didn't receive an answer, or I know a young couple that came to me for some counseling, and they weren't married, but they were dating and they were talking about getting married. And one of the things that they had done in their discussions in respect to getting married was they decided to pray about it. And so after he and she both prayed about it, they came back, and they'd done all this before they came to me. And he said that God told him that they shouldn't get married. Well, God had told her they should. So now you've got a dilemma. You have a contradiction. And so they're confused, and does prayer work then? And, so prayer can be the means by which that people's faith is diminished, because we don't fully understand what God has discussed in respect to prayer. Yes, He has talked about, just as we saw in the Scripture for our reading this morning, that Jesus saying, whatsoever you ask for, believing, and even so, to pluck up this tree and cast it into the sea. And so people read that and they go, wow, then that's all I have to do. Or I really believed a lot and God didn't give it to me. So some of the things that we have noticed that the Scriptures talk about is that, what is prayer anyway? And we've seen that it's seeking after God. We're not just seeking things, we're seeking God. God wants us to seek Him out. He wants us to find us. He wants us to find Him. And prayer is a part of that, seeking after God. It's making His will our will. So often we think about prayer as being trying to convince God, or, you know, asking God or getting God to give us certain things. But prayer is really about Thy will be done. You remember there the prayer that the Lord taught His disciples? Thy will be done. Just like it's done in heaven, but it would be done here on earth. And so we are seeking to make His will our will. It's communication, most certainly, with God. It's where that, in a sense, there's a conversation. And communication isn't just a one-way street, as we noted. A communication means that God has some things to say as well. So we need to be hearing from God. And God does talk to us about prayer. And we did see that, even though I said this morning, I hope we haven't seemed to make it seem like it's complicated, it is work. There is effort. There is even personal sacrifice in prayer. And we've covered those things. In fact, that was our first lesson. And then last week we talked about effectual prayer and some of the things that the Scriptures enlighten us on, that God tells us about in His side of the communication when God's speaking to us, that it is a prayer that is asked in faith. And so we must be believing. It's a prayer that's offered in the spirit of humility. It's offered in harmony with God's will. It's offered by the righteous. It's offered in a spirit of thanksgiving. It's prayed with persistence. And it is done as we access this through our high priest, Jesus Christ, or by His authority. It's in Jesus' name. And so we see there's more to prayer than just believing, isn't there? But we need to know that. That's where communication comes into place, so that God can reveal these things to us. And those are some things that we have talked about, we have discussed. And so a communication link is necessary. Man, don't you just hate it when you get those on your computer? What is that anyway? Error. Communication link failure. Now's not the time. We're trying to do a lesson here and we get this. You ever see that pop up on your screen? Well, of course, that's just an insertion into the slide. That's not actually a message from the commuter, from the computer. But we know how important it is. Our computer, when it can't talk, you know, to itself, when it can't communicate, when the instructions that we type into it do not make sense to, you know, the processor and to the program that we're trying to, you know, work with, and it says, "I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know what you're talking about, Joe." Then, you know, we're really in trouble, right? And so communication link is necessary. God wanted to communicate with Adam, you recall. God wants to communicate with us. You remember Adam and Eve were hiding, though, weren't they? Because they had heard God, and they were naked, and they were afraid. And so God wanted to talk to Adam, but he was hiding himself. He wanted to communicate with Elijah. But once again, Elijah was hiding himself off in a cave, you know, going, I can't get this done, God. You know, why don't you just let me die, type of thing. And so God's wanting to communicate with Elijah. Well, God wants to communicate with us as well, doesn't He? But like Adam, you hide yourself, He's going to have to find you. Or like Elijah, you're just going to hole up in a cave. Yeah, I know you're out there, but I just don't want to talk to you. Well, there may be as well times in which our communication, when we want to talk to God, is being affected. It's being blocked. And so Peter talks about over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 7 that a husband's prayers can be hindered because of his relationship with his wife. It's not right. And in that, then, his prayers are hindered. And so you see, We've got to be linked together. It's not just us talking, but it's God speaking. God's wanting to speak to us. Well, what do You want to say to us, God? Well, one of the things He wants to say to us, I want to hear from You. I want You to pray. I want You to talk to me. But then there may be something that blocks our prayer, that hinders our prayer, that
it's not able to make that communication with God because of some of the things that we noted earlier. It's not just something to ask in faith. Maybe we're not asking in faith. But it's also something that is reserved for those that are seeking God out, seeking to please God, seeking God's righteousness. It's for the righteous. It is for those that would access God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe we're not doing that, you know. Sometimes people, even today, you know, they're not really even talking to God. They're talking to the universe. And so God says, yeah, I hear that. And so you see, and I don't mean I hear that like that's great, but the omniscience of God and our wish, whether thought or spoken, it's not necessarily a prayer. God hears all that, yes, because God knows all that's going on. But He doesn't listen to all of that. There has to be this communication link that takes place. So, we find that coming to God means opening ourselves up to God's scrutiny. And that's a lot of times a hindrance to us. And especially, even if we don't maybe even know the Scripture that talks about that God's ear is, you know, open to the righteous, but His face is upon those who practice and continue in evil. Even if we don't know that, we know God's righteous and holy and good, and we're not sometimes that. Sometimes we're not that for a long time, or sometimes, you know, we're really bad, or sometimes we're just somewhat bad or whatever, but we know we are. And we know God's holy and righteous. And therefore, shame of our deeds might hinder us from coming to God. Over in the 5th chapter of the book of Luke, in the 8th verse, we find that Jesus, when Peter, he's been getting the point, or he's been a disciple of Jesus now for a little while, and he's been getting the point of Jesus being, you know, a good man and a righteous man, a prophet of God. But for some reason, this multitude of fish that he has tried to catch all night long, but now he catches at a time when you shouldn't really even be catching them, just based upon the word that Jesus told him, put your net off over here. It's like the light bulb goes off. And Peter goes, man, this guy is someone more than just a guy. More maybe even just a prophet. And he fell upon his knees and he said, depart from me, Master. He said, for I'm not worthy. And that's the way that I feel, I know, sometimes. And I think that's what Peter is feeling, and possibly anyone else, that our shame keeps us from approaching God. We're not worthy. And we've even seen the Scriptures that we need to be righteous. But you see, even in our unworthiness, God's still seeking us out. Because the irony is that whether we come to God in prayer or not, He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening in our life. He knows our shortcomings. We don't have to come before Him. The Lord knew Peter before he ever stepped into that boat. It's just now Peter, you know, identifies that. And so that's one of the benefits in prayer. In fact, God said, as Paul quotes over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 21 from Isaiah the prophet, God said, I spread my arms out all day long to a gainsaying people. So you see, God's wanting us. He's wanting us to come to Him. He's not wanting us just to pray. He's wanting us. He's wanting us to seek Him. And one of the things in seeking God is prayer. One of the things in God wanting us is prayer. But it's not that God's just wanting us to pray. He's wanting us. And so He spreads out His arms all day long for mankind, calling upon us, asking us to come unto Him. And so in order to be able to pray to God and it not just be our wish, want list type of thing, and give me this and give me that, but that we are seeking in our relationship with God to receive the things that God has promised, then we have to have this communication link established.
So this morning we're talking about one particular element. I realize we've covered a lot of things, but we needed to. It's our last sermon, and we needed to bring all this together and then conclude with this one big one, and that is that we've seen that it's not just asking in faith. There's a lot of things we ought to be expecting in respect to faith, and we're going to see that here. But prayer of faith, praying in faith. And what does the Lord mean by that? When He says, you know, whatsoever you ask for believing, that you'll receive. And so a lot of people, like I say, they come to an unbelief because they go, well, I asked for it and I really believed. I knew He could do it. He's God after all. And I didn't get it. And now I don't believe. You know, remember we told a little short story here a couple of weeks ago about the woman praying for the lemon tree. Said, you know, I believe, Lord, that you can remove this lemon tree. And then after she opened her eyes and it was still there, she said, well, just as I thought. So, you know, there's some question there, you know, did I really believe? But anyway, well, what is this that the Lord is talking about in praying in faith? We go over to Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 20, and we've already looked at some scriptures, quoted them, but we want to turn over here and look at this incident and read just a little bit about this. Let's back up here. This is an occasion, if we go back to the first verse, we don't have time to read all of that long, but Jesus has been up on the Mount of Transfiguration with three of His disciples, and so that's left, what, 9, down off of the mountain. And a man has brought his son, who is tormented by a demon, to them to have them cast the demon out. And so we find here that Jesus comes down off of the mountain. And we pick up here the 17th chapter of Matthew. Let's pick up verse 14. He says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a man kneeling to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers grievously. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft times into the water. And I brought him to thine disciples and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon went out of him, and the boy was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, or after all of this has been done and separate from this man and probably others. And they said, Why could not we cast it out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. And so, we have there that promise as well as some other promises, just like we read there in our scripture reading about Jesus telling them in respect to the fig tree that He had told it to bear fruit no longer, and there it was the very next day. That thing's withered from the roots up, you know. And the disciples, wow, how'd you do that? And He says, well, you know, if you have faith and you ask, and the Lord plucked that up and move it into the sea. Now, remind you of it. We don't have time to go back into it and develop it, but I think that you'll get the idea. But remember back a few months ago when we talked about faith and some of the aspects of faith and what faith is. And one of the things that we talked about in respect to faith and works as far as seeking God's work, you know, God to accomplish things, to do things, that it's like the apostles. And here when He says, you know, that if you pray that this tree, or in other cases, you know, this mountain even, and, you know, and you pray that God would remove it and cast it to the sea, says it would be done. Well, it's not like, you know, Luke Skywalker where you got this power and it's emanating from you and you just kind of feel yourself, you know, because it's really taken everything and, you know, but it happens. Faith is accessing something that someone else has. It's identifying and recognizing that you have the lack. You're the one that's in need. You don't have the ability. You don't have the power. You don't have the strength to accomplish to do it. And so you're asking someone else to do it. You know, you're asking big old strong Paul back there, "Hey, Paul, you know, I've got this piano that needs to be moved. And I can't move that rascal. Oh, yeah. You know, my back's down." And Paul's big, strong, strapping guy. "Paul, move that piano for me." "I believe he can, Paul." "Don't know if you want to or not, but he can." And so you see, I'm accessing his strength, his ability, his power to be able to do something. And that's what faith is. He says, you know, God is the one who has that power. God's the one that's working that. He says, what you're doing is you are accessing it. And you have to believe that God is able to do that. Now, you know, there are some things that you could come to me for as a favor. And I'd gladly do it for you. I'd give you a stick of gum any day, Ed. Don't have one on me, but I'll go get one even, you know. But Scotty comes to me and asks me for $1 million. Well, Scotty, I like you, and you know, you're a great guy. And I'd give you $1 million if I had it. But see, I don't, you know, he wouldn't do that because he goes, "Joe's not a millionaire, multi-millionaire. You know, he can't do that for me." So it's going to have to be something that somebody's capable of doing. And that's what faith is. It's accessing that which God is capable of doing. And so here are these disciples. And they cannot cast this demon out because of their lack of faith. Their little faith. And so their faith lets them down. They think God has let them down, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't really say. But they just go, "Why couldn't we cast it out? We," you know, like, hey, you know, Luke Skywalker, you know, get that image. And Jesus says, "Oh, it's because of your..." Now, it's not because your lack of strength or ability or, you know, the power just wasn't in you today. You didn't tap the force, you know, type of thing. But it's your faith. And so he says, because of your lack of faith, you're not able to do this. Jesus tells his disciples even after this, later from this, hoping that maybe they have learned this lesson as well as others, over the 21st chapter of Matthew, and 21 and 22 there, that scripture that we read, but let's read it here again. He says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but even if you shall say to this mountain, thou be taken up and cast to the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall do, you shall see." And so, once again, Jesus reminds them, whatever you ask, believing. And so our problem is that, okay, well then, I believe because Jesus said, and whatever I do, ask, believing, I should receive. But we have to look and see, well, has the Lord spoken any more about that subject? Is that all? Have they been informed of something that we don't know about because we've just tapped into this one incident? So we tap into this one where there's this demon and they couldn't cast out. It's a lack of faith. A little later, we tap into this other one when Jesus tells them, you know, now whatever you ask for believing, it'll be done to you, even to this mountain, you know, being... And so we read those, and if we're not careful, we go, well, okay, then see, that's all there is to it. But we've already seen and all these other lessons. That's not all there is to it, is that we need to be righteous. We, you know, need to seek God out. We need to find the proper, you know, source to be able to go to. We need to make sure that even after we've sought God out and we, you know, are seeking to be righteous, that we are found righteous because God has provided the means of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And by Him, He gives us the authority. And so, you know, are we even in Christ? And we, you know, seeking God through that righteousness that's provided through Jesus Christ.
and cleansing us of our sins. You see? See, there's things that we have to understand that are even outside of this event, outside of this story. So, what's outside of this story? Well, one of the things outside of this story is if somebody came up to you and asked you to work a miracle, what would you say? Pretty fortunate, probably no one's going to ask us that, right? But what would we say? So this guy comes to Jesus' disciples and he asks them to cast out a demon. And what do? Well, they try. Well, why in the world are they even trying? Would you try to work a miracle? Somebody comes to you and says, work this miracle for me. Would you even try? Well, why not? And so why you would not is maybe the question that we ought to ask the disciples. Well, why did you even try? But when we go outside of that text, we go back to another occasion in the 10th chapter of Matthew. And in the 8th verse, when Jesus told them as he sent them out to preach into the communities of the Jews, he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Oh. That's why they tried to cast out that demon, because Jesus told them they could. And they had been casting out some demons even while they were out. Remember, they came back and they said, wow, even the demons are subject to your name, Jesus. So they've been casting out demons because Jesus told them that they could. That's why they believe that they can cast out a demon. However, they come across this tough old demon that it's not going to just come right out. And apparently, they just go, okay, we told you to. Don't know why you don't. Please come out. Don't just come on out. Their faith is challenged by the demon. Another account, Jesus said, not only do you need to believe, but he says, this kind does not come out without prayer and fasting. In other words, there are challenges to our faith. And Jesus says, if it's like a mustard seed, it could grow to meet the challenge. And so their faith needed to grow to meet that challenge. Because they had the authority to cast out a demon. Therefore, they had the right to believe that they should be able to cast out a demon. So, where do we get faith for our prayers? That we might believe so that when our faith is challenged, that it will grow and it'll meet the challenge. It'll be like a grain of mustard seed, and it won't even stay smaller than that. But if need be, we'll pray, and need be, we'll miss a meal or two, you know, to meet the challenge, to face the challenge. But where do we get faith for that? Well, Romans 10:17, we read there what many are familiar with. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, we get hearing by the Word of God. So we get our faith the same way the disciples had their faith. Why should they believe that Jesus, or why should they believe that they could cast out a demon? Because Jesus told them, I've given you that power. Or what should we believe in? Only in the things that Jesus has told us to believe in. And so when someone comes up and asks you to work a miracle, why don't you try to work that miracle? Because you know that Jesus hasn't told you what He told the 12. You know that you haven't had the hands of the apostles laid upon you that you might work some kind of miracle. You know there's no reason for you to go back and believe. Wait, no reason for you to go back and believe that you can work a miracle. Why? Because the Lord hadn't told you you can work a miracle. And so our faith is just as their faith. It's in the things that the Lord has told us to believe in. And so when the disciples try to cast out a demon, what are they doing? They're trying to do what the Lord has told them that they can do. But their faith, their confidence is challenged, and they don't do it. Elijah, his powerful prayer that we've read about and we've used in this series, but where that he called for it not to rain and did not rain for 3 years. Well, where in the world would Elijah ever get an idea to pray not to rain? Because God had told them in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, He says, "And when you sin and you do not repent," He says, "I'll shut up the heavens and you will not receive rain, and you will, and this good land that you live on," He says, "it'll become desolate." And so God had promised in their sinfulness. And so Elijah is saying, "God, look at these sinful people. Look what's going on. You see the people I'm trying to prophesy to and the people you sent me to, and they're not hearing a word." And so he prayed that God might do what God said that He would do. And what is it that God said He would do? He said He'd shut up the heavens. And so you see, he's praying by faith. Faith in what? In the promises of God. And that's why we have to have that communication link that we talked about earlier, is so that we can know what to pray for and trust and have confidence that God will provide. And so Jesus told His apostles even in John chapter 15 and verse 17, or at least as John records it there, which in a sense Jesus told us there too, because He inspired John to write that. So anyway, John's still recalling this. He says, "If you abide in Me," okay, there's that relationship, there's that seeking out God that we talked about earlier, right? And in all the other lessons. And so if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you abide in Me, My words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, what's your will? Remember, our prayer is subject to making our will whose will? God's will. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we pray. And so Jesus says, When you are abiding in Me and My words abide in you, then you should know what to pray for, shouldn't you? Because you know what Jesus has promised. He promised the disciples they could cast out a demon. And so they tried, but it was a tough demon and they just quit. But they could have done it, even on that tough old demon. Why? Because Jesus told them they could. And Elijah was doing what God had told them that he would do as far as seeking up or closing up the heavens. And so we are working with God's will. As John says in 1 John 5:14, "And this is the boldness which we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And so we need to be about God's Word being in us, so that we can pray God's will. We have several things that are in common with one another, and things that Jesus taught His disciples to pray for. We all need daily bread. We need forgiveness. And we need deliverance from the evil one. And so we need to be working with God's will. God's supplying His will to us. He's revealing His will to us that we might know what God would have us to pray for. Now, some things not specified. Sorry, it just takes this long. I'm sorry. But we're about done. We can go through this one pretty quickly. But I wanted to really get that prayer and faith down. We can believe because what God has promised. We don't have a right to believe in things that God hasn't promised. And trust that God will deliver. But are there things that we might pray for that God hasn't specifically promised? So things that are not specified. Well, certainly, I don't want to discourage that because the Bible doesn't discourage that. We're just talking about why people lose their faith and lose their faith in prayer because they go, well, you know, like Janis Joplin's, Lord, I'm sorry, I must make amends. All my friends have Porsches, but I want a Mercedes-Benz. Well, that's what her song said anyway. And so, you know, I guess maybe it's all right to even ask that. But when you don't get it, don't let your faith be destroyed. Find out what God has promised. Be in His, allow Him to abide in Him and allow Him to abide in you through His Word. And you'll know what to ask for. But then, like when the Lord appears to a prophet and tells him, go tell King Hezekiah, I say, go tell him that he's going to die, that this illness is unto death. God's will was he was going to die. But Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he began to cry. And he says, Lord, remember who I am. Remember what I have done. Remember the evil that my father was and the evil of the people. And I've tried to do your will. And God said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. See, he changed God's will. We can pray for things. Cameron, Carson's dad, was talking this morning about our prayers for them. And so we go, well, should we pray for things that you know, God hasn't specifically said to pray for? And so should we pray for like them being able to get pregnant? Well, we've been trying to do that, and hopefully we've been doing that in the will of God. But the point is we have to accept the will of God in that as well. We know things like God said, be fruitful and multiply. We know things like God has said that children, you know, are a blessing, and that a man who has his quiver full, or just like having, you know, a bunch of arrows in his quiver. So we know that God desires us to, you know, have children, to have offspring. But we also know that not everyone does, and God hasn't promised that everyone will have children. But we do know it's a good thing. And so we can pray for that, most certainly. But God hasn't said, you know, well, now I'm going to give everyone children that ask for it. And so we just can't expect that, or hold God's feet to the fire in a sense, say, well, you know, didn't deliver and we believed. It's we pray for the sick. And we do so because God even told us to pray for the sick. And God even talked about that He can raise the sick. But He also has made us a promise that all shall die. That it's appointed unto men once to die. And so at some point we're not going to be delivered from our illness or from an accident or something like that. But nonetheless, He still wants us to pray for those things. And then quickly, I'll give you an example here. Over in Acts chapter 15, verses 22, a biblical example. And hopefully we've used some Bible and the others you've seen there, you know, where we talked about God wants, you know, the man to have children. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. Over in Acts chapter 15, verses 22 through 25, Paul's telling those as he writes at Rome, he says, man, he says, I have desired to come to Rome. He said, I haven't been able to get there yet. He says, but I want you to know I still want to come to Rome. And he says, and after I go to Rome, he says, I plan on going on to Spain. But first, he said, I want to go to Jerusalem. And so that's Paul's want list, you see. That's Paul's wish. That's Paul's desire. And God's allowed him to get to a lot of places and even sent him to some places, hasn't he? And so Paul says, my desire is to come to Rome, but first to go to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 23, as Paul is determined, as he sets his face and he's going to Jerusalem, he sends a prophet. Prophet Agabus comes. He takes some of Paul's clothing. He binds himself up and then he says, whoever owns these clothes, he says, so it's going to be done to him when he gets to Jerusalem. He says, so when you get to Jerusalem, Paul, you're going to be made a prisoner. You're going to be arrested. And so the brethren started going, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Please don't go. And Paul says, well, what are you breaking my heart for? He says, I want to go to Jerusalem. I don't care if I even have to die there. But don't you want to go to Rome? Didn't you say that you wanted to go to Rome? You wrote that to those at Rome. So you want to come to Rome. You just need to go to Jerusalem first. Maybe, you know, you need to just skip Jerusalem. He says, no. He says, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And he did. And it was just like God said. He got arrested and he got chained up, right? And he made it to Rome. On a ship. Didn't even have to walk. But not a luxury cruise liner. But as a prisoner. Right? As a prisoner. So yes, it's okay to ask for things that God has not specifically specified, but let God work His answer out, which may be no, which may be, well, could be like later. Well, here's a no one. Paul, when he prayed for the thorn to be removed from his side, that he said that the Lord told him, "My grace is enough." Is God's grace enough, really? Just because God has given us the grace to save us, to forgive us of our sins, we ought to just be willing to put up with anything? Well, that's pretty big stuff. But God's telling Paul, "I'm not going to remove that thorn, whatever that was, from your side, whatever it is that's given you this trouble." He says, "I've given you my grace. And that's enough." Well, we see then that, like with Paul and his journey to Rome, it may not be just as we want it to be if God hasn't promised it a certain way. And it may not even be within the time frame that we want. Here is Elizabeth and Zacharias. I'm sure they wanted children, but they had had no children. And now they think that they are beyond the age of having children. And God says, "Here's your son. You just name him John. Okay? Do that for me." Or as the disciples ask in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "Do you now restore the kingdom to Israel, Lord?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the things that God has set within His own time." It's not for us to know what God has set within His own time. Sometimes it comes when God wants it, as God wants it. That's not an out. That's not an excuse. That's the way it is. That's the way it works. And when we understand and know this, when we have God's Word abiding in us, and when we have faith and we know what to ask for and the things that are according to God's will that He has promised that we will receive, then we will. And the things which are outside of that which He has specified, which is most of the things actually that we end up asking for, well then, we may get it, we may not, and we may get it when we least expect it. That's what God works, because He works it as His will. And so in all things, we surrender our will to God's will. We make our will His. His will ours. Sorry, that's what I meant to say it. All right. Well, there's right and wrong. Pray that we always get it right. But we're not always satisfied with that, are we? There's also good and better. Yeah, that was good, Lord. But I'd like to have had better. You know, like the Mercedes-Benz one. So I got a 62 Rambler. If you know what a 62 Rambler is, if you don't, go look it up on the internet and find a pink one. Because that was my first car. It's not what I wanted, but I got a car. If I was going to get one, that's what I was going to have to get, Dad said, even if it was my money. It was His name on the lawn. Anyway, you don't want to know all that story. Okay. Well, if we can discuss some things privately in a group setting, in a class or something like that, that maybe questions that we have raised from this series, such that we'd be glad to consider those and to look into them, to discover even more. We most certainly did not exhaust by any means what we can learn about prayer, and the more that we learn about it, the more effectual our prayers become, don't they? Doesn't mean that our prayers aren't good and that we shouldn't be praying and that we shouldn't, in that childlike innocence and the childlike heart, ask for these things. It's just, we want to make them as powerful as they can be, as powerful as God wants them to be, effectual. And so that's why we do some greater detailed and more in-depth studies like we've done the last few weeks on this. Well, this morning, if in any way you're subject to the will of God, to His invitation, have not made His will your will, or have not taken Him up on His invitation to come unto Him and to receive the removal of the burden of sin so that you can take on the yoke of His will, then we would encourage you this morning to think about that seriously. It wouldn't be a better time if you're already know and convinced and what you need to do, no better time than right now to answer and to accept that invitation. We would encourage you to take this opportunity. Won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven